This is the February 25 board time. The time right now is 3:30.
Okay, we got Mike Burgess on the line. Hello, Mike.
He's on hold.
Oh, well.
Are you there?
Is Mike on?
I'm going to put you on speaker. Just a second.
I should say, anybody have any issue with the minutes?
Are you there, Mike?
I haven't had a chance to read them.
Okay,
so
hold
let's
on.
Wait till next week. And then let's then max out.
Okay.
Okay, so we can skip that for now. Is that okay?
Okay.
All right. So, Mike Burgess.
Yes, sir.
Hi.
How are you?
Tell us what is relevant, what's cooking.
You all in your...
Briefly, we have a short time.
All on your handout, you have this, which is the updated version for this.
Yes, good work.
We're on.
I think, Commissioner, it's easiest. I'll just do a quick update on where things are at in session. You can ask some questions. I know you're pressed for time.
Yep.
We don't have a lot of, you know, I don't have a lot of new bills I want you to take positions on or any for that matter. Today is the Friday of this week is the fiscal committee legislative cutoff, meaning bills that cost money have to be voted from committee. So we're spending a lot of time in committee right now in the fiscal committee. It's like Ways and Means is in the middle of a hearing right now. They're hearing about 40 bills. It's pretty common for this time of year. Last Friday was the policy committee cutoff for bills that do not have a fiscal impact. They would have had to have been passed from committee by last Friday. The reality is the cutoff was Thursday in the sense because not a lot of committees even met on Friday. And so a number of the bills that you see on your list that we either supported or opposed are already dead for session. And between Axel and I, well, I guess it's more me than Axel, I will clean that list out this coming Friday, or over first of next week after the cutoff this coming Friday, and have a triage there and be left with the bills that are still alive that we'll be concentrating on. Bills that are dead, there's no reason for us to pay any attention to them anymore. You do know, of course, though, that sometimes bills do get revived, so I will certainly be paying attention to that, but for all intents, I'm pretty confident I can go through the list and pick out the ones that are no longer in play.
Okay, Mike.
Yes.
When you clean the list, let's at least for the first one, let's just simply mark them as dead, and that way we can still see what died.
Oh, okay, fair point. That's a good idea. Well, maybe Axel will come up with another color.
Much easier. I've got a
color on it.
Well, actually, don't replace the color because I want to know if a good one or a bad one died.
Yeah, add a new column and put dead or alive, and then sort by. Category.
I'll just put a color in this column.
Okay.
Put it in black.
we can do that. So what we will then do after this Friday, we will on Monday start with floor action pretty much every day straight until March 11th. And that means all the policy bills have to be voted off their respective House or Senate floors by March 11th. For them to stay alive, and then we will, after the 11th, we'll transition back into pretty much almost all committee hearings, and then approach that cutoff, and then end up back on the floor for extended periods of time. So that's kind of where things are at right now. The big news, well, one thing the last week was the week before was the transportation revenue package. I sent you information on that, heard back from you all how important 179th is, and I'm working with the delegation to get that included back on the list of the project list. I don't know when the Senate will vote that out. I had thought there was a chance it could be voted out this week. I think that will not happen now, and it may end up sitting for quite some time. But
yeah,
I have to work
Mike,
with our delegation on 179.
Mike?
Yes?
Our own position, I'm assuming that we'll see if we can get consensus on this, is that if that does not include reforms first, that it, I consider it absolutely oppose it, because if we just give them another credit card to abuse, we all lose. The second thing is if Clark County does not get our fair share, we also, why would we support it? The third thing is the worst form of funding, which is to bond everything all up front for 12 years or a long-term bond for, what, 20 or 30 or 40 years, is the worst form of funding these things rather than pay-as-you-go. If you got a revenue package that adds gas tax. I assume that's what it's going to be based, and I would assume that gas tax flow would be the smartest way. So we're doing it what I understand is the dumbest way: borrow everything up front, max out the credit card.
Well, yes, Counselor, it's a combination of pay as you go and bonding. Bonding is, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent. It's the way things are done in Olympia and the way they have been done. But your message is received.
Feel free to weigh in.
Go ahead. I lost it.
When I look at long-term bond funding, I look at the state of Oregon, which did exactly that, went out and bonded a long time in advance, and a huge part of their transportation budget every year is simply dedicated to debt service on projects that aren't even built yet. So the combination sounds more feasible than just bond funding everything out in advance. So a combination sounds good, but we are, I don't know what kind of specific reforms. Is anyone else talking about reform?
There is a menu of reform bills that the Senate is considering. I think the best way for that is if I could email those to you for you all to take a peek at.
Great.
How about, can we do it that way?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And Mike?
Yes.
I'm assuming, and I hope that this year they're not planning on doing a long-term bonding measure that especially leaves out a third bridge here in Clark County, the East County Bridge that, because we're not ready for that, but we will be ready this coming legislative session.
You mean in 2016?
Yep.
Well, Counselor, at this point, like I said, the revenue package does not, it is a combination of bonding. I can get you better details because I don't know the numbers off the top of my head. So in the email I sent you detailing the reforms, I'll include the balance sheet, as it were. If a transportation revenue package goes forward this year, the likelihood of them doing one again next year is very small.
Yeah, that's why I'm thinking next year would be more prime time.
Well, and unfortunately it'll be a timing issue because there is enough pressure in other projects around the state I think it's still up in the air whether or not they'll get the most past one, but there is a chance. And frankly, if they have the votes. And if we're left out of that, then that will be the case.
Well, that's where I was going to go with it, and you halfway answered it. What do you see for the votes? Do they have the votes for a transportation package without reforms?
No, not the Senate, but I think they're close. Because I think they have enough votes measures.
Once they get the votes or get commitments to the vote, negotiation stops and they vote.
And there are enough projects sprinkled around the state that are legislative priorities. That they will get enough yes votes. I think, Commissioner Mielke, I think you're accurate.
And what about other Southwest Washington projects?
Well, I'd have to go back to the list I sent you. Let me see if I can find it here. But I want to say Mill Plains was in? Let me call the list up.
And
I'm
Mike?
With you here.
Well, there is a bunch, but 179 wasn't there.
Yeah.
No, 179 was not there. One back here.
Mill Plain was there, and 179 wasn't?
Yeah.
179 was not on the project list in the Senate. Mill Plain Interchange. State Route 501 were both included. State Route 501, Pioneer Street Bridge. State Route 14, I-205, 164 were included. And then the Ridgefield overpass was included too.
Yeah.
Oh, that is the Pioneer Street, sorry.
Mike?
Yes.
On that Mill Plain interchange at $80 million?
Right.
Even Bill Turley couldn't get definition from his own staff on that. All he could do is pull out what they already submitted to RTC, which is just a price tag and a name. So nobody, that's a mysterious project. $80 million to rebuild the 15-year-old interchange. This is the largest interchange on the I-5 in our area, and nobody knows anything about it. It's such a mysterious project. Can't get anything about that. What in the world is going on is what we're wondering. It's a mystery. And yet they're not including, once again, the 79.
And we're supposed to be in the majority in the Senate.
Know anybody up there?
Yeah.
That's all.
I don't know if they didn't vote for that.
Mike?
Yes?
I apologize for not being able to be up there today to testify on our issue on.
Right, that's okay, Counselor. I ended up doing it; it worked out just fine. So
okay,
all was good.
Great, thank you, and I appreciate your help over the weekend.
Right. Well, that's what I'm here for, and I understand schedules are busy. But I think we, sometimes we are going to need to find a balance. I'm not going to ask you all to come to town often, but when there are big ones that I know you all care about, there is certainly value in one of the three of you coming.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go to that well very often, but sometimes I will, and it's because I think it's an important for you to be here. But we got through it today without an issue, and we'll just keep moving forward.
So is it still on the table?
It was scheduled to be voted for committee today. I left the hearing room after I testified. I don't know if it did get action yet or not. I'll be able to check later today.
I'd appreciate an update, however brief.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Could I count on an update as soon as you get any more information?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it could be really brief.
I know if the HCT bill was voted out. At this point, transportation heard 5 bills today. The first two... The first was the HCT bill, and then the second was the one that Councilor Milkey, I spoke with you this morning about the RTPOs mm-hmm. and their funding. When I saw the executive session list, the HCT bill was on that list to be voted from committee along with about 25 other bills. So it was at least scheduled. That doesn't always mean they're going to take it up. So I'll follow up today, but the RTPO one was not on the scheduled list. So I don't know if that's an indicator that the chair doesn't indicate or intend for it to move, but keep in mind Senator Benton is on that committee. He's one of the vice chairs of it, and so he will have some input into what moves or does not move from committee.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And in the interest of time, I don't have much more to add. I mean, I know it's kind of odd time in session that I don't have a bunch of new information, but that's mostly because all it is here is bills being heard, not a lot of new introductions and things like that. So it's super busy, but for some reason there's not a lot of information to pass around.
I trust Jeannie Stewart here to represent the board. I hand her my vote that Jeannie, your discretion, if you want to support or oppose any bill up there because of timeliness, if you want to be up there, use your discretion. And you have my green light to speak for my vote.
Great. Thank you.
Tom?
What are you voting on?
I'm going to give you a raise,
Tom. Well, I assume it's going to be consistent here.
Tommy Mill Plain.
Missed that opportunity.
I'm coming with her.
All right.
Public meeting all the way.
That's a quorum then, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, we have to tell everybody where we're going.
So we care enough to send our very best. All right, is that it?
Yeah, on my end it is, but mm-hmm. Always feel free to contact me if you have any other questions, things that pop in your head that we didn't say.
Yep, and feel free to call ourselves if there be anything timely, whatever the time for, at least for me.
I'll do that.
Thank you. Okay, thank you very much, Mike.
Yeah, all right, bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, next, moving along.
So, last week we had Longshoremen, the work stoppage, and so on and so forth. I wanted to kind of talk last week about the fiscal impact, the financial impact in our community, and there were a couple really interesting comments at CREDC, Columbia River Economic Development Council General Board meeting, which is like 30 people or 35 people. People went around and talked about different things that, you know, they see as current issues in their industry. And one of the members present did talk about he could find alternatives for shipping his product out of the area other than, you know, he could go to other ports. He had other options, especially for domestic, even West Coast domestic. But that at the time he was having trouble getting material in to keep his factory going. So that was kind of interesting because you think about your shipping out, we forget that it's a supply chain. So at any rate, it's my understanding now that some agreements tentatively have been reached and it's gone from a work slowdown to a work a little bit faster. And so, and it from what I'm reading about it in Wall Street, Oregonian, Colombian, it looks like everybody is getting a little bit more vested in finding a longer-term agreement. So we'll just have to wait and see how that goes. And so looking in the past and spending a lot of time about the past, I don't think we want to do that now. We just want to think about how hopefully that can get resolved and think about getting things back on track for shipping and hauling.
So, Hanjin's position today is what?
Pardon me?
Hanjin's position? The freight line that, or the steamship line that they were going to lose?
Oh, the last article I read, they were somewhere between threatening to pull out and pulling out.
Okay.
But, you know, sometimes those threats happen just to get things back on track. So I don't know if they're firmly.
I tell you what's scary about that. Big businesses that size, they set up a 5-year plan. And they know today what they're going to do 5 years
That's
from
right.
now. And 4 years ago, they know whether or not they were going to pull out of here.
Yeah. So, and I'm sure you're right because that's a very smart company. And I actually think they're one of the companies that may not have relied on local longshoremen, but are one of the companies that through their port contracts got to bring in their own workers from overseas for unloading. Yes, and because that is one of the bones of contention that the dock workers.
Contract.
Yeah, they officially announced that they were leaving on Tuesday.
Oh, Tuesday?
They're going to leave
Tuesday? They're gone. 78% of the business at Terminal 6, 1,600 containers a week.
So it's not just a threat. They're out.
Hanjin Shipping officially withdrew Tuesday from the Port of Portland. Spokesman Josh Thomas confirmed that Hanjin notified port operator CTSI Oregon and port officials. So that's a done deal.
So who won on that one?
This happened about 20 years ago.
Did everybody lose?
I think Tom's right. They did what they were always going to do.
They were going to do it. They saw the writing on the wall. And so the longshoremen. And that's the
yes,
kind
exactly.
Of,
yeah, they threatened to leave before, apparently.
Yeah,
well, yeah, a long time ago.
That's when they made the decision.
So enough on that then.
Okay.
We'll look forward to the future.
All right.
Impact.
So
you didn't talk about impact yet?
Up to speed.
Pardon me?
Hanjin leaving is probably too soon to talk about an impact.
Yeah, we wouldn't know
as
that.
As far as jobs.
If you don't mind, I'd like to move up 2.5 because it's a quick, easy decision. Yesterday was the canvassing board. The chair of the board here is automatically a member of that 3-member board there. And I was to certify the election yesterday at 2 o'clock. Then they moved it at 4 o'clock, and our meeting went to 5 o'clock.
Uh-oh.
And we didn't have, I think you're supposed to have a alternate in writing. And we don't.
Well, I think I'm the alternate.
Are you the alternate? Yeah. Do we have that
alternate
in writing?
I'm sure we did because we had to do it last
anyway.
Time
we could
when
have.
I went.
Well, as the chair, I'm not supposed to step out in the middle
That's
of the
right.
meeting. So
I see.
Are you volunteering to be the alternate?
I'll leave, yeah.
Okay, if we need to be able to have that in writing, let's, Mark, can you help us?
We had to do the paperwork.
Oh, you already did it?
The girls did the paperwork in order for me to sit in there last time.
Okay.
But we just changed board assignments. So are you now the designated alternate?
That's not listed on there, I don't think.
Well, okay, let's do this. That's because this is an important board with RCWs attached to it. If you're willing to be the alternate, and if we ever have a time when we're in the meeting and we need to have somebody step out, you're willing to do that, then I'll entertain a motion to make that happen. I got to make it official.
I would move for Tom Mielke to be the alternate on the canvassing board.
I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
No. We'll put it in. Jennifer's got to take
it. Yes.
Okay. Unanimous, yes. And so, Mark, can you see to it that we get that in writing to
I think the girls are the ones that did the paperwork on that.
Okay. Just read this carefully. Just make sure we're doing this correctly.
Yeah, I assume it has to be one of us three.
Well, actually, it talks about an employee of the legislative body means an individual who serves in any of the following positions: chief of staff, legal counsel, clerk of the council, policy staff director, and any successor positions to these positions. I'll have to read this more thoroughly.
Can we also have a backup alternate? In other words, if we all three of us...
PA's office, too, is always there.
I think the alternate, it doesn't have to be a board member. It doesn't seem.
Okay. Then why don't we do this? Okay, we'll bring...
If it can be... Counselor Mielke,
it's going to be you.
We'll nail that down. If it needs to be somebody else, we'll bring it back.
Since we don't have something pressing between now and next week, let's do a little homework on that, and we'll come back with us.
I solemnly swear I'll never have a hearing longer than 4:00.
All right. All right, now we can jump back in here.
Information on the Dolly building? Did you?
I was given a heads up that you wanted to know the occupancy rate. It's at 91%.
For 91%?
Uh-huh.
So yeah, what's left?
We have...
not too much.
We have 2,829 square feet left, scattered around the building.
Oh, scattered.
Yeah, on different floors. Now... Vancouver Defenders, which is our largest tenant, they purchased the old LSW building on Main Street.
Oh, no.
Because
really?
LSW moved into the city's old building next to Esther Short Park. That's going to free up 3,000 square feet. But it's on the second floor, and it's fairly desirable space, so we believe that we will be able to backfill that relatively quickly. Okay. But 91% is a pretty good rate.
So, Mark, what's in the process there? For us to be able to consider options.
Laura Peterson, with the approval of the board, we hired a consultant to evaluate the property, evaluate the economy, consider the new waterfront development and all, improving to do canvas residential, retail, and business space in the core area down here to give us some alternatives for what to do with that building. Keep it in its current form, sell it outright, enter into a public-private partnership to put up a new building. I asked Laura Peterson's on vacation until the end of the week.
I don't think we're going to build a new building. I think we're taking the profit from that and paying for this building.
If
we sell that or if we rebuild it, we have to have funds to pay for this building.
Right. There would be a hole created in the budget if we were to sell the building. Now, if we get $250,000 a year in revenue off that building after expenses that Bob Stevens uses to pay debt, if we sold it for 2.5 or 3 or whatever the selling price would be, that would be 10 years of debt service payments. So we could set that money aside and use it to pay down the debt.
And I'd want a more complete discussion about that, because that's one option I can think of other options.
And when we get the report from the consultant,
sure,
we'll bring that to the board, and that will stimulate
a
discussion.
So when can we expect that report?
I asked Laura Peterson by email. She's on vacation. I'm glad she didn't answer me so that she can...
Okay. The option that I'm particularly interested in is to see what would be... if we were to sell that building, what would we get out of it? Because the idea is, it's a guiding principle that I like to go by, and that is that if the private sector does something really good, the public sector doesn't have any business doing that to compete with the private sector. If we sell that building, take those proceeds, put it toward future debt service or whatever we want to do with it at that point, it goes back on the tax rolls. The private sector is usually a better, is a good way to steward such resources.
Let me clarify, though. Every private tenant in that building pays 12.84% leasehold excise tax to the county, and we, in lieu of property taxes.
Okay, well, that helps.
So that mitigates
still
the loss of revenue.
It helps. Yeah. Still, the principle is our county government should not normally be in the landlord business. Private sector does that really well. Yes, ma'am.
Excuse me. We're going to see a full report that'll
give various alternatives, pros and cons.
Talking will indicate to us the 12% leasehold tax and so on and so forth.
Anna?
I just wanted to say that when we were talking about the Dolly building this morning, I happened to be reading in the Vancouver Business Journal an interesting note that the port, this was by Todd Coleman, and he said ports tend to hold on to property, but it's not unheard of for a port to sell land when it makes sense. Far West Steel is a recent example at the Port of Vancouver. Far West bought 17.5 acres from the port in 2010, and they've been a great neighbor, employing over 250 people and contributing more than $500,000 annually to the City of Vancouver, the Vancouver School District, libraries, and other junior taxing districts that provide vital public service to our community. And then another example he provided, he said, last week our Board of Commissioners unanimously approved selling 18.9 acres of the Port's Centennial Industrial Park to Sunlight Supply. Sunlight currently operates out of 5 separate facilities across Southwest Washington, including a facility leased from the Port. The decision allows the company to consolidate its operations and bring 253 of its local employees together in the same building for the first time. So I thought it was interesting discussion about how, you know, you have this property, and then when you sell it, it goes back to the private sector, and how that flows into all of these other, you know, libraries and taxing districts and school districts. And mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting.
Good point.
So, Jeannie, how we got there was we had, we found ourselves out renting other businesses, our building for the one that I was concerned about with the youth group. A very high monthly cost.
Was aware
okay.
of that.
I'm almost and we were looking at putting it down there when we had a bigger opening.
Sure.
We still may or may not. There's still some things that would have to be addressed.
And we'll have a complete, we'll have a package on that.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we have that. It for sale if you're interested.
moving on to 2.4. That's you, Tom.
What? Juvenile.
2.4.
Oh,
placement
model. Just one idea, and everybody's going to have an idea. Here's mine. And God We Trust over the top of the logo, and then the logo, and then for further consideration that we heard during the testimony down there where behind the dais, put E Pluribus Unum. You know.
I like your chairs.
Hmm?
I like your chairs.
I think you need a ruler.
I freehanded that. But you didn't know I freehanded that, did you?
So you did sports, not art in school, I take it.
That's just one idea. Just I had to throw it out there to stimulate everybody else's idea.
I think the idea of putting forth ideas is not only just refreshing, good for everybody here, but I think there have been a number of people and organizations out in our community that would offer their own ideas too. And so the idea is to welcome that and help to and see what proposal comes forth. And I assume that I know there's already enough support out there that it won't even cost anything to make this happen. There's people that said, we'll pay for it. In fact, one guy said, I'll pay for the whole thing, and it's not me.
I've actually received an unsolicited proposal from a county employee that we don't have time to talk about today, but I would like to bring it to board time next week and share it.
It
talks about involving the arts community. It talks about having a competition with members of the public proposing designs, having three different mottos posted in different places, maybe the joint lobby where the auditor and the treasurer and the assessor share that space, have a motto there. But the In God We Trust would go in the hearing room because that's what the public hearings were about. But but we could put E Pluribus Unum up elsewhere. And this country's got lots of great mottos. Only one official one. Only one official one.
Unofficial.
Apple a day.
And I think that's to open the door for community and ideas and participation is welcoming.
Yes, and that was great. That was the motivation behind the proposal, and so I'll bring it to you next week.
I know we're going to have a lot of them. I just have to throw mine out.
May I move your cut, sir, for just a moment? I was asked Declaration of Independence.
Whoa.
Oh, my God. I got one on my wall.
So these are two proposals. Our new graphic artist and PIO put these together. The proposal that we're going to make to you is that the final product would be 44 inches tall and 30 inches wide, which are the same proportions as this paper, that we would frame it and that we would put it along the north wall.
44 by what?
44 by 30.
That's good size.
44 tall, 30 wide.
That's much bigger than what I got in my room.
Well, actually, that's pretty
big. It is bigger?
It is a little bigger.
Should I make it smaller?
I want it bigger.
Well, we'll have two made up.
I'll take all the paint you could save. You wanted to paint that part of the wall.
It makes it look long, but
The usurpations of the king is what makes it long.
List.
But I believe you either post the whole document or you don't.
I agree.
Because it only means what it means and in full context.
And I think it's going to be a lot reader that big, a lot easier to read when you make it much larger. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, and they're talking north wall.
And it looks
the north wall.
It's a good combination of a work of art.
And plus, we have the original rendition
there. Here.
And because Betty Sue Morris sent an email to the board,
she did,
saying I like mine better because it's the original, and so this is a blending of both.
Yeah.
Yeah,
The paper's slightly different. One of them is darker, slightly darker than the other. Do you have a preference?
Whatever's going to be
easy to read is key because
we don't want it to simply be a picture. We want it to carry a message and invite people to read it.
The darker, kind of traditional,
and I think it's more like parchment.
And
when it gets larger, we'll have to see.
Yeah. So we have a plotter here. Can we just plot that out?
We'll produce it on a. Yeah, we'll get it done.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's take a look at it before you frame it, so we can see how look up it on the wall and see how easy is that to read, because we want to be able to get the right balance of making it look like it's a really important foundational document, but invite us to read it.
Okay. So is this this is not on our agenda?
And it
is
need
this
not
just
be related
in the context to the national motto?
Yeah.
Okay.
And if we had a public hearing on this, I believe there would be unanimity.
Only if you have a hearing on about the drapes.
Hard to object to this.
so that we get the word out and to invite the community. We don't want just insiders to be able to contribute to the idea of offering ideas. I would think we ought to put something on today's agenda
when they get elected. When they get elected, they could change it.
On the website,
they will.
People have other suggestions.
Yeah.
Well, what I would suggest is we'll get a large one printed so you can assess the readability.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking about I reverted back to the other. I agree.
And then once we get the green light to do the final product, frame it, then we put mounting it on the wall on the consent agenda.
And or a little ceremony or something.
Or something.
I don't know.
Okay,
move along.
Okay, so I'm going to proceed with this.
Axel
Thank
left.
You, that sounds very good.
Axel left.
Yeah.
He has a 4 o'clock meeting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did he give you anything
Are we
on
done?
The Hazeldale property?
Oh,
I think we're done.
You have something in your packet there?
Yeah. He left me with this. This is
in my packet. I'll read it.
Is it?
You can start. I'll be there.
I'll be there.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that's it.
No,
that's charged.
Is there?
Okay. Well, here it is. Why don't you read
that? I got it. There it is. I'll read this.
Okay. All right.
Anything like that?
I'm good.
No.
You good? You good, Mark?
I'm good.
I'm
okay,
Anna. Adjourned.
Good.
Okay.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned.
Okay. And the minutes were skipped just to save time.
Because he hadn't read them.
Yes. Well. because I didn't.
The recording's still on.
Well, that's okay.